Well, good morning. The time is 8:27 on Wednesday, September 6th, and you are tuned to WPRB, Princeton, New Jersey. Community-supported independent radio at 103.3 FM or online around the world at www.wprb.com. Welcome to another edition of Classical Discoveries. I am your host of this program, Marvin Rosen, and will be with you today until 11 o'clock. Thank you so much for joining me. I am very honored to be joined today by composer Kenneth Fuchs, and we go right now to one of his compositions.
Thank you.
You were just listening to United Artists, an orchestral work by Kenneth Fuchs. The work, dating from 2006, was just performed by the London Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Joanne Folletta. Well, I am honored to be joined live today by composer Kenneth Fuchs. Ken, welcome.
Good morning, Marvin. Great to be here.
Great to have you. It's been an honor. It is an honor for me to have you here, and I'm very excited. Kenneth Fuchs has written concert music for orchestra, band, voice, chorus, chamber groups, and works for musical theater. He has collaborated with conductor Joanne Folletta and the London Symphony Orchestra to produce several discs by Naxos on its American Classics label. Kenneth Fuchs is currently professor of music composition at the University of Connecticut Stars and has been deeply committed to arts administration. He has enjoyed many performances of his music here in the U.S. as well as in Europe, China, and Japan, and has received numerous commissions. And I have to say, I could go on and on and on. Again, Ken, welcome.
That's quite an introduction. Thanks, Marvin.
It's a pleasure to have you again. Well, I signed on your segment with your United Artists because it was written as a tribute to the London Symphony Orchestra after your first CD on Naxos, and I thought that was actually a very appropriate way to kick this off. Tell us about the piece and about your whole feeling when you did that first recording.
United Artists was composed as a gift for the London Symphony Orchestra in 2006 when I was planning my second recording with the LSO. I had one other piece that I wanted to include, and that was a celebratory fanfare overture. And my first experience recording with the LSO in 2003 was so remarkable that I was moved to compose a piece to celebrate their artistic collective virtuosity as an orchestra. So I wrote to the orchestra, to the artistic director of the orchestra, and asked her if I could compose a work for the orchestra and dedicate it to them and include it on my second disc. And she wrote back and said they would be flattered and honored for me to do that. And so I was thinking about the kind of work that I wanted to compose, and I was inspired, in fact, by the work of the early filmmakers, D.W. Griffith, Mary Pickford, Charlie Chaplin, and
And you can hear that to a degree.
The work does not quote film music, but in 1919, they formed their own production company called United Artists, and I was so inspired by the visionary thinking of people who wanted their own artistic freedom that they would form their own film company. And I thought, you know, that's exactly the pioneering spirit that the LSO embodies in their work as a self-governed orchestra. So it all came together in this six-minute work, and I wanted to celebrate in brilliant orchestral sound their artistic virtuosity.
And as they say, the rest is history. And it really is, because we are going to be listening to a sampling of your fifth CD with the London Symphony Orchestra later. And this was literally just recorded. In fact, 2 weeks ago.
Just got back from London.
And we're going to talk a lot about that later.
Had a magnificent time there.
It's amazing. And when I mentioned this to you when we were communicating, of course, before this, it was basically something I was not expecting to happen, Ken, to be honest with you. And when you wrote back and I got the files on Monday, I said, oh my gosh, this is really going to happen.
Well, you know, the timing was perfect, and I'm so glad that we have the opportunity to tell your listeners this morning about all of my work with the LSO and the experience of recording with them at Abbey Road.
Well, that's wonderful, and we will get to that. However, for now, we all want to hear the Kenneth Fuchs story. Share with us a bit about your early exposures to music and your training. Were your parents musical? And when did you decide to go seriously into composition?
You know, I always tell people that for me, composition is a vocal utterance. And by that, I think of my early exposure to music through singing, choral music, singing in church choir and in chorus at school, in elementary school, high school, mm-hmm. all through college. And the lyrical quality of vocal singing made a big impression upon me at a very young age. And for me, all of my music stems from somehow a singing through the instrument, mm-hmm. and that includes a snare drum as well as a violin. Mm-hmm. That's how I conceive of music. And my early exposure to the American Popular Songbook, the great composers of Broadway, Irving Berlin, Jerome Kern, Richard Rodgers, Cole Porter, Leonard Bernstein, Stephen
Sondheim, whole bunch.
Had a very big influence on me at a young age. I love musical theater. So that music had a big mm-hmm. impression on me. And then jazz as well. And
well, you've written some music for jazz ensembles.
Yes, in my early years when I was an undergraduate student at the University of Miami, we had a remarkable jazz studies program there headed by a wonderful man named Whit Seidner. And the dean of the school was William F. Lee, also a wonderful jazz musician and composer. And there were all of these influences at the school at the time in jazz, not just straight ahead jazz, swing, but fusion, Latin, studio orchestra music, and wonderful young artists who went on to great careers. Pat Metheny was a student there, so. Being around all these people and
rubbed off.
Absolutely. And as well as, of course, my exposure to classical music and studying that very seriously.
Very, very good. Well, let's go to your first pieces, mm-hmm. briefly. I mean, very briefly, because they're old. How are they stylistically?
When I was an undergrad student, I studied with a man named Alfred Reed, very distinguished composer of band music.
Band music,
I wrote a lot of band music when I was an undergrad. In the vernacular style of mid-20th century band music. And I was writing some chamber music at the time, but it wasn't until I got to Juilliard that I got very serious about writing for strings and symphony orchestra. And my style went through a number of permutations once I got to grad school, but it changed radically from what I was
doing
as undergrad.
Share with us a little about that.
Well, by the time I got to Juilliard mm-hmm. in 1979, the composition faculty included Milton Babbitt, Elliot Carter, David Diamond, Vincent Persichetti, and Roger Sessions.
Wow.
And the president of the school was Peter Menon.
Peter Menon.
And his president, and the president before Menon was William Schumann. So the American Symphonic School was strongly represented at Juilliard, and that's why I wanted to study there, because that was eventually the kind of music that I wanted to write. Nonetheless, I had not spent a lot of time with what we would call post-tonal music and the Second Viennese School. So when I got to Juilliard, I spent a lot of time studying that music and experimented, writing in that style. But, you know, it wasn't me.
Well, you've got to be you.
Right. And that's what I learned. And it took a number of years of hard work to truly understand that, to emerge with my own artistic voice.
You have to do with what you feel comfortable
Absolutely
with and
right.
what you feel will speak.
Because
then
right.
I think there's something, if you don't do that, it doesn't come out well, feeling, and, personal feeling.
And part of the challenge was at the time that I was wanting to write tonal music or the kind of music that I write now, the return to Romanticism really had only just begun.
That's right.
David Del Tredici had only composed
Final Alice.
That's right, in 1976, and then John Adams emerged. And it really wasn't till the end of the 80s that composers had seriously embraced the return to Romanticism. That's where I wanted to go. But at the beginning of the 80s, when I got to Juilliard, in the face of classwork with Milton Babbitt and Elliot Carter and Roger Sessions, that was hard to do.
Well, look at even people. I'm thinking now of George Rochberg, mm-hmm. even, and some of his stuff. You mm-hmm. know, and it was a nice... You know, after I think a lot of the more experimental post-World War II avant-garde, I mean, even you go to another country, look at Poland, look at Penderecki.
Right.
What he started writing in the mid-70s.
That's
totally
right.
Different than the Trinity.
Absolutely.
You know, so I think it was it was definitely an exciting time.
Well, it's not that any of the faculty at Juilliard tried to discourage me or anyone from embracing who they wanted to be, but it just the times hadn't changed that really hadn't caught up with...
No, it was still transitional.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, what was happening in the United States in classical music and contemporary classical composition at the end of the 80s was very different than what was going on at the beginning of the 80s. The 80s was a remarkable time in terms of change and progress and growth to a new musical language for American composers.
That's great. Great. Thanks for sharing all that, Ken. Now, let's go to your first break. And I think we've talked about this already, and I think I know... some of the secrets already, but anyway, share that with the audience.
Well, I'm very grateful for the many people who have supported me along the way in my life as a musician. But I will say my first encounter with Joanne Folletta at Juilliard when we were students there in the mid-1980s really was life-changing. We shared a doctoral seminar with Milton Babbitt, and we sat next to each other. And Joanne conducted a work of mine that is probably my opus one. It's called Out of the Dark. And this will give me an opportunity later to tell your listeners about my relationship with the abstract expressionist artist Helen Frankenthaler. But I will say that Joanne conducted the world premiere of that piece at the Focus Festival at the Juilliard School in January 1985. And that was the beginning of our lifelong journey in music, which continues to this day.
1985, yeah. Wow. And this all began, or one of the reasons it began, because you were sitting next to each other. And part of it is that?
Yes, absolutely.
It's like fate.
It was meant to be, absolutely. And we just gravitated to one another as people, and we became fast friends and musical friends for a lifetime.
Wow, that's what it's all about.
It is.
And it's... 32 years ago.
Yes, I'm very grateful to Joanne.
Wow, that's a wonderful story. Wonderful story. Well, let's go now, Ken, to more of your music.
Okay.
We listened to your American Rhapsody for Violin and Orchestra dating from 2008. Now, this is a very beautiful work. Why don't you share with us a bit about it?
Well, your listeners will hear an absolutely stunningly beautiful performance by Michael Ludwig, virtuoso violinist, and Michael was the concert master of the Buffalo Philharmonic, where Joanne is music director. And this is a work that Joanne recorded with Michael and the London Symphony Orchestra in 2011. And it's an 11-minute small concerto
rhapsody
for violin and orchestra, absolutely. And it begins with just a musical fragment from the second movement of my second string quartet. Mm-hmm. And when I thought of that melody, I thought, you know, this would really work beautifully for violin in an expanded way with symphony orchestra. And so that's what the piece is based on.
And we're going to hear it right now. We listen now to music by my guest, Kenneth Fuchs. This is his American Rhapsody for violin and orchestra.
Thank you.
You were just listening to music by my guest, Kenneth Fuchs. That was his composition for violin and orchestra, American Rhapsody, specifically Romance for Violin and Orchestra. In our performance, you heard violinist Michael Ludwig, along with the London Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Joanne Folletta.
WPRB is supported by the Princeton Federal Credit Union, dedicated to providing quality service, financial solutions, and value while building trusted relationships with their members for a lifetime. As a student, staff, or faculty member of Princeton University, you are eligible to join. To find out more about how Princeton FCU can help you reach your financial goals or to learn about their current auto refinancing promotion, call 609-945-6200, visit princetonfcu.org, or find them on Facebook, federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Well, good morning. The time is 8:59 on Wednesday, September 6th, and you are tuned to WPRB, Princeton, New Jersey, community-supported independent radio at 103.3 FM, or online around the world at www.wprb.com. Welcome to another edition of Classical Discoveries. I am your host of this program, Marvin Rosen, and will be with you today until 11 o'clock. Thank you so much for joining me. Now, I would like to also let you know that I will be with you next this Friday morning from 5:30.